Amen. Thank the Lord for the wonderful helpmeet that I have, and I thank the Lord every day that that He works miracles. Amen. We're talking about the miracles of God, miracles of Jesus this morning. Well, one miracle of Jesus, He gave me a beautiful wife. Amen. And somebody asked what happened. I said, "Well, she was blind." Amen. And but I'm thankful the Lord puts people together. Amen. And she's been my helpmeet. She's been my partner, and she's been a really big help in our ministry. And so I thank the Lord for her. And folks, it's just great to be in God's house. I'm thrilled to death. Amen. You know, I loved the Lord's house before all this COVID-19 hit. But I really loved it after that. And I missed it. And like preacher said, there's nothing like being here and being in God's house and feeling the Lord work and move up and down the pews. Amen. And so, well, this morning we're going to try to do our best to preach to you this morning. And we're going to try to be short. Amen. Try to be not long-winded. And I was telling somebody this morning, I said to a pastor one time, we went to his church, and I said, "Brother, now how long do you usually preach?" He said, I said, "How long do you want me to preach?" He said, "You preach as long as you want to." He said, "When you get done, there's a light switch and lock the door." Amen. He said, "If nobody's here, just keep on preaching." Amen. And then one pastor told me this, and he was serious, brother. He said, "You can preach as long as you want to. But," he said, "if you go past 12 o'clock, you'll never preach here again." Amen. And I said, "Okay, I get the message." Amen. But we're going to try to keep you, we'll try to let you get out at a decent hour. Amen. But you know what? I love to come to church, and I never come to get out. I always come to get in. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And if you come to a service to get in, you don't care when you get out. Amen. And I remember reading over there in the New Testament where the Bible says Paul began to preach, and it says at the midnight hour. Amen. And there's been many a time that I fell asleep on a church pew while my dad was up preaching the Word of God. Amen. And but anyway, I've got a short message. I've got three verses, and after these three verses, I'm done. Okay. And now I've got 3 points, and that's it. But I've got 28 subpoints under each point. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is the first verse we're going to talk about. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Don't you love the Word of God? You know what? The longer I live, and you know what? I used to wonder sometimes why my dad loved the Word of God so much, but now I'm beginning to realize why he loves the Bible so much. This is not only our guidebook, it's our light, it's our comfort, it's our encouragement, it's our light for our pathway. This is the book, amen? I'm talking about the King James 1611, amen? And we love the King James Bible. But here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I trust you found your place. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I'm going to read it again because I don't want you to miss any part of this verse. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I'm going to try to preach to you this morning, if I can, for just a few short minutes on God is able. Amen. God is able. Do you know our God is able? Amen. You say, what is he able? You fill in the blank. God is able. Whatever you have in your life, God is able. And I can stand up here and tell you with 100% surety, God is able. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I know that our God is able. You say, "Brother Steve, how do you know that?" Well, I know that in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives. I've seen it in our church. And I'm telling you, folks, our God is able. He's able to do anything. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above." So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop just for a second. I want you to think of the greatest thing in all the world that you think of. The greatest thing that you think of. And you say, well, Brother Steve, I don't know. Just for a second, think about that. And let me tell you something. My God is able to do above that. More than that. Amen. You say, "Brother Steve, why do you say that?" Well, we know that God stepped out on the edge of nothing and created everything.
That's right.
And he did it. Now listen, folks. He did it by the word of his power.
Yep.
By his word.
Yep.
He spoke everything into existence. That's a pretty powerful God, amen?
Yeah.
We serve a powerful God. Some of you say, well, I know that. I've been coming to church for a long time. I understand that. Do you know that sometimes when we come to church, we don't learn anything new, but we're reminded of some things? We need to be reminded how great our God is.
Yeah.
You know, we used to go to camp every year, and at camp, we would hear these great choruses, and we used to sing, "What a mighty God we serve." It's not just a chorus, folks. It's not just a saying. It's the truth. What a mighty God we serve. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. And sometimes we need to be reminded of this, amen, that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly all, now look at this, above all that we ask or think. And I think sometimes we as Christians need to be reminded of these things. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know if he, you know, I know that he's able to, but will he do it? That's not the question. He's able. Amen?
Amen?
He is able. He still has the power today that he had way back then.
Right.
Folks, we serve a powerful God. God is able to do anything. Aren't you glad that our God is able to do anything?
Yes.
It's a blessing to know that our God is powerful and he's able to do anything. I want you to look at that verse there, and it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And then there's a comma there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-oh. You say, "Brother Steve, I knew there had to be some kind of negative thing there because I knew it." When, listen, Baptist preachers always give you both sides, amen? They don't just give you one side, they give you both sides. Look what it says here. Look at the last part of that verse.
Yep.
"According to the power that worketh in us." God is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we think or ask. But it's according to the power that works in us. So here's my first point. God is able to do anything, but some will not believe. Think about that now. God is able to do anything, but some will not believe. Brother Mosey, I've been studying the Word of God now since I've been saved, and I've heard message after message. I've heard so many messages. I've heard preaching. I've studied the Word of God, and one thing that's still a mystery to me, sir, is that how the creature can limit the Creator.
Amen.
How does that happen? If you have your Bibles, turn with me real quickly over to Psalm 78. I want you to look at Psalm 78 real quick. And I want us to look at a group of people here, and I want us to see what it says here. Psalm 78, the Bible tells us that there's a group of people here called the children of Ephraim. The children of Ephraim are a lot like some of our churches today. And I hate to say this, but it's true. And look what it says here in verse 10. It says, "They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law." You know what? When we do wrong, it's not that we don't know better. It's that we just don't do better. It's not that we don't know. We just refuse to do it. And then look at verse 11. See, some people don't like it when we preach like this, but it's the truth, amen? And I'm preaching to myself, too. Look what it says in verse 11. "And forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them."
Amen.
Oh, Lord, please help us not to be like the children of Ephraim.
Amen.
Lord, please help us not to be like these folks. Look what it says here in verse 12. "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused it to pass through, and he made the waters to stand in a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the depths. He brought streams unto." It tells all what he did. And look at verse 17, how sad. "And they sinned yet more against him," look at this, "by provoking the Most High in the wilderness." Oh, Lord, help us. Help us not to be like the children of Ephraim. And then look what it says here. It says in verse 18, "They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" How many times have we asked, "Can God do something?" You know what we need to do? We need to turn that around. Instead of saying, "Can God," we need to say, "God can."
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
There are so many times in churches that we go across. We go to all across this country and all across this land. And there are times in churches that we hear Christians say, "Well, I don't know if God works that way nowadays."
Yeah, right.
Just because you haven't seen him doesn't mean that he has lessened in his power one iota. Amen.
Right.
He still has the power. Amen.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that they tempted him and spake against God. God doesn't like it when you question if he can do something or not. Amen? Because he can do anything.
Amen.
But some will not believe. Look what it says here. It says in verse 20, he smote the rock and waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? And we have the account where he did these very things. Amen?
Yep.
And then look what verse 22 says. Oh, Lord, help us. It says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Oh, Lord, please help us not to be in that category.
Amen.
Help us not to be in that position where we're asking, can God? Can God? Look what it says in verse 24. He rained down manna upon them to eat and given them corn of heaven. And man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to full. I'm working on a message. Let me just tell you this. I'm working on a message called getting used to the blessings of God. You know, folks, God has blessed us so much that we just got used to it. And we just say, well, okay, there's another blessing. Hallelujah. Instead of being excited about it and thanking God for it. That's a different message all in itself. Look what it says here in verse 32. Look at verse 32. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. It's so sad. My heart breaks when I read these words. Why? Because I see this in churches all across the country today. I see this in churches in America where churches come to church and they see what God has done, the beautiful building that God has blessed you with, the padded pews, the nice cars that we come, and we say, oh, brother, we were talking about this last, we were in a missions conference last week. And I was telling how I had to get up at 7 o'clock, and get in my air-conditioned car and drive over there. You see, we're laughing. You know what? He was talking about, he said, a third of the people he led to the Lord are now in heaven. They've been killed for their faith. And I was saying, oh, I had to get up at 7 o'clock. And I had to be over there till 11 o'clock. Listen, folks, it's not that we have to do God's will. We get to do God's will. Amen. And look what it says here. Look at verse 41. Verse 41 of Psalm 78. It says, yea, they turned back and tempted God, look at this, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Can I ask you something, friend? What category are you in this morning? Are you in the category that you believe God? Or are you in that category where you say, I don't think God can do that? Can I tell you something? We've got a lot of doubters in our churches today. You know what the opposite of faith is? Doubt. Let me tell you something, folks. We need to be like that man in the New Testament where he said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Listen, there does not need to be an ounce of unbelief in our hearts.
That's right.
So I don't know about that, Brother Steve. I don't know. Listen, folks, we need to ask the Lord to help us. And here is the sad state of affairs. Let me show you what it says over in Matthew. Look with me quickly over to Matthew chapter 13, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 13. And look what it says in verse 58. Matthew 13. And look at verse 58. This sums up most of our Baptist churches today, sadly. You say, well, Steve, you're being negative. I'm trying to help you this morning, amen? I'm trying to preach at you. I'm trying to preach to myself, amen? And I'm trying to help you to see. Look what it says here. And he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Can I ask you something at First Baptist Church of Haltom City? How much is God not doing because we won't believe him? Lord, help us today. Listen, God can do anything, and we say, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. But do we really believe that with our life? Do we really believe that with our heart? God can do anything, but some won't believe. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't want to be in that category where I limit the Holy One of Israel. I don't want to be in the category where I limit God in churches and where I say, sit there with my arms folded saying, I doubt that it's going to happen. And when the pastor says, we're going to do this, we're going to move forward for the Lord, we're going to do this, we're going to start another class, and we're going to fix the PA, we're going to do all this. And he's like, well, I don't know about that. Listen, folks, we need to be careful what we say. I'm not saying this has happened here, okay? And I'm not trying to be a downer, but I'm saying this. Please, let's don't limit God with our unbelief. Amen? Listen, God is able to do anything. but some will not believe. Now, if you will, turn with me to, that's our first verse. Turn with me now, to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to go now to our next verse that we're going to talk about this morning. Hebrews chapter 7, and if you will, run your finger down to verse 25. Look at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. We're talking about God is able, amen? You still with me? Amen. God is able. And now we're talking about Hebrews 7:25. Look what it says here. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Amen.
My next point is God is able to save anyone.
That's right.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful that we can knock on any door in this town and we can say God is able to save you? And they say, but you don't understand what I've done. But you don't understand where I've been. You don't realize. Listen, folks, I can stand up here and assuredly tell you God is able to save anyone.
Right.
Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, sir.
Now, there are some doctrines. There are some people that teach that God only died for a select few. I don't believe that, folks.
The
Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read it this morning or we were on that chapter, it says, for God so loved the world that who? Wait a minute. If you're in here and you're not a whosoever, please raise your hand. That whosoever.
Amen.
Folks, I believe that. Amen. God is able to save anyone. Aren't you so glad you've never had to tell somebody and drop your head and say, oh, God can't save you. I'm sorry. When they start telling all the things they've done. Listen, folks. Our God is able to save anyone. What a blessing. Amen. What an honor. What a privilege that our God is able to save anyone.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that. As I was studying this verse here, and I was getting this message together, I was so thankful. And as I was reading this, I was looking at a verse over in Mark. And it says this. It says, others he saved, but himself he cannot save. Do you know that God refused to save one person? God refused to save one person. You say, oh, I didn't know that. Do you know that if he'd have saved himself and come down from that cross, he couldn't have been our Savior? We used to, brother, you remember this, we used to all stand up here. My dad would stand here, my mom would stand here, and then Debbie, Brenda, Cheryl, Becky, I'd stand right here, and then Jim and Marla would always stand in the front because they were short. And we'd always sing with my dad's Gibson Hummingbird guitar, and you may have remembered this. He didn't come down, oh no, he didn't come down. And my mom would go, didn't come down. And then we'd go, legions of angels were camped all around. He could have called him to set him free. But he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Aren't you glad he stayed on the cross, folks? If he'd have come down, he could not have been our Savior. I only, studying the Word of God, I only saw one person he refused to save, and that was himself. Man, aren't you glad he can save anyone? Isn't that a blessing? And you know, I read there, over there in the New Testament, where it says, the rich young ruler went away very sorrowful. You know why? Because he was very rich.
Amen.
He was trusting in his riches more than the righteousness of God. And there are people like that today that are trusting in things and trinkets and things that they can possess rather than trusting in God. So here's my second point. God is able to save anyone, but some won't trust. Isn't it heartbreaking when you're talking to someone and you get them right to the edge? And I'm not talking about picking unripe fruit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit is working and you see tears well up in their eyes and they start fidgeting with their hands and you're that close and you say, wouldn't you want to trust Christ right now? And they say, no, not right now. You know, we read of a man in the Bible where he told Paul, a more convenient season. Call me at a more convenient season. And you know what? We read in the Bible where he never found a more convenient season. And then another one said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is able to save anyone. Some won't trust. Man, I had a list. I left my list back at the apartment. I had a list of all the people that God saved in the Bible. You know what? He saved soldiers. He saved military men. Amen. Cornelius. He saved midgets. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Amen. He got saved. He saved harlots. Mary Magdalene had seven devils. He saved fishermen, old salts. Amen. He saved old fishermen. They got saved. He saved thieves. The thief on the cross got saved. I went through the Bible where he can save anyone. But what's so sad is some will not trust. And thank God he didn't make us zombies. Amen. Thank God he didn't say, you're going to get saved whether you want to or not. We're all here on your own free will. Amen. Thank you for being here, by the way. Thank you for coming to God's house. What a blessing it is to see people in God's house on Sunday morning. Amen. And you know, I'm thankful that God didn't just make us do what we didn't want to do. He gave us a free will. Listen, God's able to save anyone, but some won't trust. God's able to do anything, but some won't believe. And now, let's look at our last verse today that we're going to look at. Jude chapter, there's just one chapter. So Jude verse 24. Look at Jude verse 24. This is our last verse that we're going to look at today. Jude verse 24. And look what it says here. Jude 24. It says, now unto him, now we're talking about our God is able, amen? We're talking about God being able. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. My last and final point this morning is this. God is able to keep everyone from falling. Isn't that a blessing? God has the power to keep us from falling. Once we get saved, you know, somebody told me one time, I was witnessing this young man, and I said, wouldn't you want to ask Christ in your heart? Wouldn't you want to ask, just let the Lord come in your heart, and wouldn't you want to be saved right now? He said, I'm afraid that I can't live that life that you're living. He said, I'm afraid, I just can't do it. I said, you don't have to do it. God does it through you. Look at this. I love how Paul said this. Watch me. He said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Now look at this. I am persuaded that he is able, you get that? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, where does the strength lie in that verse? In him, not in me. I am not trusting in myself to keep me saved. I'm trusting in God's power. And can I tell you something? God's power is great. He has the power, amen? He has the power to keep everyone from falling. Aren't you glad about that? Look what he said here. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know what, folks? My dad ended well. Yes. My dad, when he got to heaven, about 5 years ago, he heard these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I know he heard those. And I want to finish well. Amen. I want to keep going for the Lord. I don't want to quit. Amen. And I want to tell you something, folks. I've seen a lot of Christians fall. But it's not because God didn't have the power to keep them from falling. Amen. I'll tell you what it is. It's that we as Christians sometimes get too big for our britches. And we start saying, hey, I can handle this. Yeah, I can take care of this. Lord, I don't need you. I'll take care of this. And you know, the next thing we know, we've fallen. Right. The Bible says, take heed those that stand, lest he fall. Because you know what's going to happen? You start bragging and you start saying, well, that'll never happen to me. You ever heard that, brother? I've heard that many times. That'll never happen to me. Be careful what you say. You know, when I see a brother that has fallen, when I see a sister that's fallen, you know what I say? But for the grace of God, there go I. Lord, help me. Help me not to fall. God is able to keep you from falling. But you know what? Some won't let him. God is able to keep every Christian from falling, but some won't let him. You know, I was reading over there in 1 Corinthians where it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You know that verse? And it says, but he will make a way of escape. And I was talking to some young people, and I said, young people, I want you to read that verse. Look at that verse and read it very closely. And they looked at it, and I said, okay. I said, everybody's got their own translation. Here's my translation, okay? Here's my translation for that verse. Now, I'm not saying it's inspired, but here's my translation. My translation for that verse is, you cannot buy an automobile without a steering wheel. And those teenagers looked at me like, what in the world is he talking about? Now, here's my point, folks. Follow me. I've seen a lot of cars in the ditch. But it wasn't because they didn't have a steering apparatus. It wasn't because they didn't have a steering device. They were in the ditch because they didn't use the steering device properly. And folks, I want to tell you something. I've seen a lot of Christians in the ditch. But it wasn't because God didn't have the power to keep them. It was because they didn't let him.
Amen.
And I say this humbly, and I say this fearfully. Lord, help me to let you keep me from falling.
Amen.
God is able to, hey, listen, folks, he's got the power. Amen. I read over there in Timothy where it says, some being shipwrecked have put away faith. You know how to become shipwrecked? I'll tell you how to become shipwrecked. Just put away faith. Just say, Lord, I can handle this. I can take care of it. Lord, I don't believe that you can keep me, and I can handle this. And you try it yourself. Lord, help us to understand that God is able to keep everyone from falling, but some won't let him. Can I ask you something, Christian friend today, and friends? Maybe you're here and you're lost. What category are you in today? Are you in the category of, I don't know if he can do that or not? Are you in the category of the unbelief? Are you in the category of, I'm not going to trust him? Are you in the category of, I'm not going to let him keep me? If you're in that category, I ask the Lord to do a work in your heart and say, Lord, help us to realize that, Lord, you're able to do anything. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen.
Amen.
And then realize that God can save anyone. Some won't trust. And then, last of all, God is able to keep everyone from falling. Some won't let him. Are you in the category today where you're going to say, I can, Lord, I can handle this my own? Listen, folks, we are no match for the devil.
Amen.
You'd be smarter to climb in the ring with Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali, is what he used to call. You'd be smarter to climb in the ring with him and try to fight him than you would be to try to fight the devil.
Amen.
That's why the Lord left us the Word of God, amen?
Amen?
So that we can take this Word of God and hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God.
Amen.
I don't know about you, Christian friend, but I'm thankful that God is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow for a prayer. Lord, we love you today. Lord, we thank you so much for this message. Lord, we're getting ready to have an invitation time. Lord, as the musicians come, as the song leader comes, Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, as they sing this song and play this song, Lord, help us, I pray, to listen for your voice. Lord, this message has not only been to Christians, but it's been to lost people. Lord, thank you that you're able to save anyone. And Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that's lost, I pray that they would see their need of salvation today. Lord, you said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for this dear pastor and his wife. Lord, what a blessing they've been. And Lord, that's why this church is here, is to see someone be saved. Lord, so they won't have to spend eternity in hell. Lord, the other reason why this church is here is to help Christians grow. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to believe in you. And Lord, help us to let you keep us from falling. Lord, help us to look to these things today. Lord, I pray that this has been a blessing. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Steve, I've never asked Christ in my heart. I don't know what it means to be saved. I've never asked the Lord to come into my life. If you're here and you're like that, would you raise your hand? Say, Brother Steve, I need to ask the Lord to come in my heart. I've never done that. All right? Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you say, Brother Steve, I've somewhat been in that category of unbelief. And I'm going to start believing God. I'm going to start believing God in my life that he's able to do anything that I need him to do to his honor and his glory. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. You say, Brother Steve, I'm going to start believing God more in my life. My hand's raised. just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. We won't call your name. We probably don't even know it, but we'll raise. We'll, yes, I see that hand. We'll pray for you that God will allow you to believe Him more. Just believe God. You know the greatest thing you can do is believe God. Amen. Lord, as I continue my prayer, Lord, I pray You'd help us. Lord, as we continue this prayer, Lord, help us as Christians to respond. Lord, help us not to just let the pastor do all the preaching, but Lord, help us to preach with our life. Help us to preach, Lord, with when people watch us and they see what we're doing. Lord, help us to tell folks that we believe You. We just believe God. Lord, we love You. Lord, thank You for this service. Be in this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Shall we stand? If you have your hymnals, turn to page 381. Page number 381. Jesus is calling. If He's calling you today, Christian friend, please get things right today. As the song leader leads us in that first verse, let's sing together, shall we?
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away?
Amen. He's calling you.
Calling today.
Sing that next verse, brother. Sing it.
Jesus is calling the weary.
Yes.
Calling today.
Amen.
Calling today. Bring Him thy burden,
and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away.
Sing it.
Calling today.
Sing one more verse. If the Lord wants you to come and join these folks and pray, you know what? Sometimes it's better to leave the church from the front of the church than the back of the church. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I believe God. I want to be in that category where I say, yes, I believe God, no matter what it is. Amen. Let's sing that next verse. If the Lord spoke to your heart, listen, these altars are still open. Amen. Come down here.
Jesus is waiting, oh, come to His love. Waiting today,
waiting today.
Come with thy sins
and His feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay.
Amen. Sing it.
Calling today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Thank you for letting us come. We enjoyed being here, and we've enjoyed your apartment. Pastor.
Hey.
I told you we'd take an offer.
Yes, sir. If you leave now, we'll know why you left. All right? If I could have a couple of ushers, if you would come, we'll give Brother Brady a love offering. Listen. We want to be a blessing to them. They've been a blessing to us today, and I just want you to give. If you want to make out a check, make a check out to the church, and you say, well, will they get it? They'll get every penny, all right? Get every bit of it. And so it's just easier for them to worry about one check bouncing rather than a lot, okay? So if you'll do that, if you make out a check, make it out to the church, all right? All right, it's a time to pray and a time to give. It's time to give, all right?
Hey.
Pass the offer.
Thank you.
right, if you would stand together, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. If you enjoyed these folks being with us, be sure you tell them they will not be back tonight, okay? So be sure you tell them this morning, all right? Be sure you do that. All right, every head bowed, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Marion dismisses.
Pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your blessings, for your mercy. Lord, what a